This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas.
And a topic that is of great concern to many people, not only in Central Texas, but around the world, is Alzheimer's disease. My guest today is Andrea Torrens, who is the Executive Director of the Alzheimer's Association, Capital of Texas Chapter.
How are you?
Good. How are you today, Kevin?
I am very good. And just like I told you, and I'm sure a lot of people of my generation who have lived the rock and roll lifestyle over time are probably worried about getting Alzheimer's. Have we helped it along while we've been out rocking and rolling? I don't, and everything that goes with that. So first of all, I want to talk about the services that your chapter offers. But first of all, a simple definition of what Alzheimer's disease is.
Well, Alzheimer's is often misunderstood in that people think that Alzheimer's and dementia are the same thing, but Alzheimer's is actually just one type of dementia. Dementia is kind of an umbrella of diseases, and Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia. And really what it is just a breakdown in how the brain connects and communicates with, you know, each other. So it's a breakdown of those neurons that can cause symptoms that can range anything from forgetfulness to challenges in solving problems or having a difficult time communicating.
And it gets to a point where eventually people are losing physical control.
Correct. Alzheimer's is a progressive disease. So it can start in a mild way where people are noticing just some basic things like memory loss or some confusion and things along those lines. But the disruptions in the neurons progress with Alzheimer's. So it can last anywhere from, you know, a few years to 20 years. Someone can have that disease as it continues to progress. And as those neurons are disrupted, they can, it can lead to having other health and physical issues related to the brain communicating.
Right. I read that it got to the point where your brain isn't telling your throat to swallow. That's really
correct.
Scary.
Yeah. Right. Because it's, you know, in a severe stage of Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, a person's ability to communicate verbally is diminished, but they're also likely to have damage to areas of the brain that are involved in movement or just basic, you know, everyday daily activities. And so it can lead to having a difficult time with the damage in the brain being able to control things like swallowing, which makes it really difficult to eat and drink. And so that's why as the disease progresses, someone may need around the clock care because the damage in the brain becomes so much more significant that they have to have that round the clock care to keep an eye on it.
We're talking with Andrea Torrens, who's the executive director of the Capital of Texas chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And a very scary new fact sheet was recently released talking about how Alzheimer's is growing rather exponentially these days.
It is. You know, right now there are about 6.5 million Americans over the age of 65 that are living with Alzheimer's. And that is expected to grow over the next several years into, you know, up to 12 million people. And the reason for that growth is because we have an aging population. So, you know, it's expected that we'll have a larger population of those who are more likely impacted by Alzheimer's. If there isn't a development of any medical breakthroughs to prevent it or slow it or cure Alzheimer's disease by 2050, say in the next 30 years, it's expected to continue to grow in the population of people 65 and older.
And then the need for what's the kind of a doctor that specializes in Alzheimer's?
They're neurologists often will, and specialists in geriatrics often do work with those who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
So, and there will be also a greater need for caregivers. And I want to devote some time just to the struggle of caregivers, but basically this thing is blowing up.
Yes, and caregivers, you know, that's one of the things that is so challenging with Alzheimer's and dementia, is that it doesn't only affect those who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia, but the caregiving aspect for those that have been diagnosed is significant. So, you know, I mentioned that there are over, you know, 6.5 million Americans that are living with Alzheimer's and dementia right now. And there are more than 11 million caregivers out there of people with Alzheimer's or dementia. Many of those caregivers are family members. Right. You know, more often than not, it's the women in the family or daughters. And some of those caregivers are not only caring for, say, their parent with Alzheimer's or dementia, but also caring for their children at home, working. And so, you know, the support for caregivers is a huge need in this disease space.
And from what I was reading, what you have to do to be the caregiver can oftentimes be very frustrating, very painful, and even sometimes dangerous. Because people are acting out.
As the disease progresses, it can cause sometimes changes in behaviors and confusion and wandering. You know, sometimes people may wander out of where they're living and become lost because of the disease. So it can be very challenging for the caregiver, especially as the disease progresses, as I mentioned earlier, to where they need round the clock care. And, you know, when you are in a very stressful situation, such as being a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's or dementia, that can also impact the caregiver's own health, physical health, mental health, emotional health. So it's important that those caregivers get support as well. So they're taking care of themselves so they can provide the best care for those that they're caring for as well.
I did see something that was about geared towards caregivers, because this is Stress Awareness Month, the month of April, Stress Awareness Month. Yeah. So there's a special helpline for that, for those caregivers and the stress that they're undergoing. And that's probably a big part of what your organization does. The Capital of Texas chapter of Alzheimer's Association is providing care and support for caregivers.
Absolutely. We have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline that anyone can call, whether they've been diagnosed or they're caring for someone, or they just have questions. We have our staff available to answer those questions and also talk about how the caregiver can take care of themselves. We also have a large number of education programs, support programs for both those that have been diagnosed as well as caregivers. You know, things like communication tactics for caregivers, how best to communicate with someone living with Alzheimer's and dementia. So helping them and training them to have the tools to provide that high level of care. Many caregivers are kind of thrown into this. They don't have any formal training about how to take care of someone with Alzheimer's and dementia. So our education programs and our support programs can hopefully help with some of that, to help them understand how they can provide the best care for their loved ones.
We're talking with Andrea Torrens, who's the executive director of the Texas chapter. You have a family member who might be showing the early stages. There are 7 stages of Alzheimer's, from what I read on your website. Stage 1 is before even symptoms appear. Is there any way to know that? Can you get an Alzheimer's checkup and say, yeah, this is going to be an issue for you?
Sure. And I think it's important to note that some people that have what are known as dementia-like symptoms don't necessarily have Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right.
There's lots of other causes for dementia-like symptoms. Things like, you know, you mentioned stress relief week, depression, not getting good sleep, side effects of medications, you know, other things like that can also show some similar symptoms to Alzheimer's and dementia. But it's important, as you kind of noted, to see your doctor if you're starting to notice things out of the ordinary. You know, we all have some kind of typical age-related changes that happen as we get older, and we start to forget names and, you know, maybe an appointment here, but then we might remember them later. But if your memory loss starts to disrupt your daily life, asking the same questions over and over again, or really needing to rely on memory aids, like always having to write everything down to remember it, or always having to ask family members to remember things for them, that's when you might want to start, you know, having just a conversation with your doctor. There are some testing things that they can do to check for a mild cognitive impairment and then try to determine what the cause of that is. Not everybody with mild cognitive impairment will ultimately develop Alzheimer's, but it's good to speak with your doctor to determine what could be causing that and if that can be fixed or if it could be a sign that they're in the process of developing Alzheimer's disease.
So you can tell that, yes, you have it and it's starting. Is that correct?
You can start to notice things,
okay.
You know, losing things a lot, having trouble coming up with the right word, having a difficult time holding conversations, things like that. And if you start to notice some of those things, absolutely, you know, talk to your doctor if you notice that in a loved one. You know, there are some, I mean, as we age, there are some changes that occur. You know, it's a normal process of aging. Many older adults will worry about their memory and their abilities and the thinking and conversations and communication and all of those things. But it's when you start to notice it happening more often mm-hmm. or having to depend on those things exclusively, you can talk to your doctor about those things and let them just have a look, ask you some questions, doing some basic testing to determine what could be causing that. Little things, like I said, asking that same question over and over again, or getting lost in places that you know well. It may not happen all the time, but you notice it happening here and there more often, becoming a bit more confused, not taking care of, noticing someone not taking care of themselves, you know, eating poorly,
yeah.
not bathing, things like that. Those are the things that it may be just the normal aging, but it could also be something that's a little bit more significant, which is why we would say, you know, you talk to your doctor and let them determine what could be causing that.
And can that doctor provide you with anything that minimizes the effects of Alzheimer's at all?
There is a drug that was recently approved last year called Aduhelm, which was really the first drug that's been developed to treat the biology of the disease, what's actually causing the problems in the brain. That's a possibility if they determine that it is mild cognitive impairment and that's an appropriate drug. But there are also medications that can treat some of the symptoms of dementia. If they're trying to determine what's causing some of those symptoms, it could be adjusting medications that they're on, or just try to get to the heart of what that is that could be causing that. And like I said earlier, not everyone with mild cognitive impairment actually goes on to develop Alzheimer's or dementia. Really, only about a third of people that have mild cognitive impairment go on to develop dementia within about 5 years.
Right.
But it's important for physicians to diagnose that early. So if there are treatment options like the one I just mentioned, that they can take advantage of those. And there's a number of other drugs kind of in research phase to aid with that mild cognitive impairment as well.
Is there really a benefit for the kind of things you hear recommended about brain games?
Sure.
Sudoku, is that it?
Sure.
Yeah, that, you know, kind of thing.
There are definitely things that people can do when, you know, if you're dealing with forgetfulness or you start to know that, you should exercise the brain just like you exercise the rest of your body. Mm-hmm. You know, things like learning a new skill, taking up painting if you've never painted before, doing crossword.
Something new and not just sitting there watching TV all day.
Exactly. But also things like exercising, eating well, making sure you're getting, you know, enough sleep, socializing with others so that you're not isolated, you know, and you can do that through volunteering or spending more time with friends and family and getting out there, like instead of sitting there in front of the television necessarily, reading books. So there are definitely things that you can do to exercise your brain, which is good to help with, you know, the forgetfulness or that general aging, you know, of your brain that can happen as you get older.
As you were saying that, I just thought there probably going to be a study about the effect of the pandemic on Alzheimer's.
COVID has been, has been tough for everyone. And it's definitely something that has had an impact on those with Alzheimer's. There was, you know, an increase in deaths in people as a result of COVID that have Alzheimer's and dementia. So that was, you know, significant. And also just the isolation, which can, you know, have an impact on those affected by Alzheimer's and dementia. The isolation can affect the progression of the disease.
We're talking with Andrea Torrens, who is the executive director of the Capital of Texas chapter of Alzheimer's Association. You mentioned earlier that over 6 million people in America now have Alzheimer's, and that is growing. It should be doubling in the not too distant future. But also you hear more and more about early onset Alzheimer's. Is that growing at the same rate?
It's growing in a sense that, like I said, the growing population of older adults. And so that's what is the direct impact, having the direct impact on the expected growth of cases. But also, there's exciting things happening in Alzheimer's and dementia research as well, and ways to be able to diagnose earlier and more treatments available and things along those lines that are on the horizon. So, and just understanding the disease better is going to allow us, like I said, to have a more positive impact on how many people are living with this disease. But like I said, it's expected to grow if there aren't more developments happening to prevent or slow that. As far as the earlier onset, diagnostic tools will help people find it earlier, bringing more awareness like what we're doing today. So if you notice anything off, going and talking to your doctor, because the earlier you find it, the more opportunity you have for potential treatments. And what I often say, just allowing you to have more time, you know, to hold on to your memories, more time to live independently, more time with your friends, family, those you care about.
For you running the Capital of Texas chapter, what's the biggest challenge right now for you and for your staff?
I was going to say, I think one of our biggest challenges is awareness. Alzheimer's and dementia is something that maybe not a lot of people want to talk about. There is help. We're here to help. And so I would say one of our biggest challenges is just simply awareness about the diseases, as awareness about what we can do to help, and just directing people to get the help that they need. More awareness is going to allow us to provide that support, education, and assistance to more people. That's pretty consistently one of our biggest challenges,
is to let people know that you're there to help them.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I hate to hear is anyone to ever say, oh, I wish I had known when my mom was going through that, or, you know, when my grandmother was going through that. I wish I had known about X. And so that's a lot of what we try to do with our programs, with our fundraising events. You know, we raise dollars to provide those programs, but it's also about creating more awareness so people can take advantage of what we have to offer.
Interesting. And important too, because I would imagine the caregiver in many situations feels very isolated as well, that they're all alone in trying to take care of mom or dad. And speaking of mom, it's more prevalent. Alzheimer's is more prevalent in women.
It is more common in women. It's something that disproportionately affects women. 2/3 of those in America that are over the age of 65 that have Alzheimer's or dementia are women. It affects men as well, but it affects women more commonly. And it also affects some different populations more than other populations. Older Black Americans are about twice as likely to have Alzheimer's or other dementias as older whites. Older Hispanics are 1.5 times more likely to have older Alzheimer's than older whites. So there are some populations that it affects more so than others. So
have they been able to figure out why?
That's part of what, you know, research is looking into. What are the causes of those disparities so that they can better understand how to address those disparities in different populations, and just provide a look at health equity issues and how that's impacting these disparities, how that's impacting someone being able to get the help that they need, addressing access to care and things along those lines.
This is Andrea Torrens, Executive Director of Alzheimer's Association, Capital of Texas Chapter. ALZ.org is the whole national organization. Donations are always welcome.
Always welcome.
Always welcome.
And you know, the dollars that we raise here in our Capital of Texas chapter make it possible for us to bring our monthly education programs to the public, as well as the support programs that we provide as well. And also helps contribute to the research that the Alzheimer's Association does. We have three research projects here in Central Texas that are being funded by the Alzheimer's Association. So those dollars are being used right here in research, right here in our backyard.
And people can even volunteer to be part of a research project.
They can. And there are a number of research projects, and they can also volunteer to work with the Alzheimer's Association. You know, we're always looking for volunteers to help us in our community education and community awareness campaigns. They could help facilitate a support group for those affected by Alzheimer's. And then we also have our fundraising activities, our Walk to End Alzheimer's, and our Longest Day campaigns that happen. And we're always looking for people to help serve on our event leadership teams to help us put those events together to raise dollars for the fight against Alzheimer's and dementia here in Central Texas.
Andrea, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I've learned some things, and I hope it spreads a little awareness that your organization is there and your goal is to help people in this situation.
Absolutely. We are here and we can help, and we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any questions for anyone, we're happy to help answer those and help anyone that is experiencing this disease or seeing that in their loved ones. We're here to help.
Andrea Torrens, thank you so much. Your comments are always welcome at studio@sunradio.com, and also suggestions for future topics that you would like to hear addressed here on the Sun Radio Regional Report.